And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Tuesday morning. My name is Jared Weiss. I am joined by the man who is hearing the screams and the cheers on the streets of New York right now, Trayvon Edwards. What's good, Trey?
What's going on?
So we just had the battle for New York. It actually mattered for the first time in a while. The Nets win it 114 to 112, and that was after the Knicks had a pretty comfortable lead for most of the third quarter before the Nets made that big comeback. It ends with Julius Randle missing not a terrible shot at the end there that would have tied and sent it to overtime. So what did you think of this game with Kyrie Irving going off yet again?
Don't take Kyrie Irving for granted. Any chance you get to watch him play, you need to watch him play. And he brought it, you know, especially he could have just packed it in against the Knicks. And, you know, he just refused to let his team lose. He had a crazy second quarter and third quarter and, you know, just kept firing it up and was making it hard for those guys, man. It was just fun to watch.
He did a ton of scoring in the first quarter, a lot of scoring kind of late second quarter, mid third quarter. Didn't really do much at the end of the game, but was really crashing the boards, throwing dimes. He actually had one pass that he threw out of bounds in like the final minute of the game where he even apologized to the fans after the game was over for throwing it away. But he ended up with 40 points and seven dimes. There's a crazy stat they showed on the broadcast that he's already, I think, second in Nets history with seven 40-point games. Kyrie Irving's only played like 70 games for the Nets at this point. That's a pretty insane stat.
Yeah, him and James have just been shattering records, like left and right. Anytime they suit up, it's just like, oh, it's a new record. Oh, they're moving up the ladder in this. Oh, he ties this. So got to give credit to the bench. Got to give credit to Jeff Green and Alize Johnson. Exceptional during that third quarter to rally back and get this win.
Yeah, Jeff Green had 23 points playing the four next to LaMarcus Aldridge. Went 9 for 13 from the line. Him drawing a lot of fouls by attacking the rim was really huge to them, winning at the end there. And then Joe Harris, he had 16 per usual. But it was an impressive win because it's not often that the team with the best record in the conference beating a team several spots below them is really impressive. But they did this with James Harden only playing 4.5 minutes and then leaving the game because he still has lingering hamstring tightness. And they decided early on in the game he just wasn't ready to go. Are you concerned about that?
I'm not so much concerned, but you have to also look at it like trainers around the league were very concerned about soft tissue injuries and, you know, just with this type of season. And you have to monitor it. And I know James is a gamer and doesn't really want to miss too many games. So it was kind of on his call and how his body felt. And at the particular time before the game, he felt good and he gave it a shot and it just didn't feel good. So he signaled, you know, to come out the game. And you know, at least he was able to make that call and not force it because it's just a regular season game. And, you know, he can get some rest and get his body together and, you know, return. And possibly they'll get KD back sometime later in the week.
It's good that he at least got to kind of go out on his own volition rather than getting hurt and having to get carried out. So that was good to see. And I mean, this was an impressive game from the Knicks. You had Reggie Bullock had 21 points on 6-for-11 shooting, had a really impressive dribble attack with like a kind of like a weird, awkward floater in crunch time that helped them get really close in this one after it looked like it was slipping away a little. Julius Randle had another triple-double, 19 points, 15 boards, 12 dimes. RJ Barrett, an efficient 7-for-13 from the field for 22 points. This Knicks team, I keep waiting for them to fall off because their offensive talent on paper doesn't seem good enough, but they just continue to play hard, play well, and play smart.
Yeah, I mean, they're well coached, you know, still one of the number one defensive teams in the league. They fight every night and, you know, make the right plays to stay in, but they're still very young. And, you know, obviously this was a very winnable ball game for them. They led majority of the game and had a dry spot in the third quarter where, you know, they slipped up and never really, once the Nets got that lead, they never really were able to claw back. I mean, they got really close, but those are the games that you're supposed to put these teams like this, especially when they have an injured team. This is a win that they needed.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We had a big matchup in the Western Conference where the Jazz faced the Mavs, and the Mavs were in control pretty much this entire game. They won 111-103. Typical Luka Doncic night, 31 points, 9 boards, and 8 dimes. Another big night for Jalen Brunson with 20 points. Dorian Finney-Smith in this one went 5 for 12 from deep. He had finished with 23 points. It's, you know, this is one of those games where Luka only made 5 3-pointers. He made it rain at the right times from deep, made the right passes without turning it over in the moments that he needs to. It seems just like Luka is kind of settling into that ability of, it doesn't matter if he has a perfect night, he's just kind of controlling the game anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he's so good, man. Like, the way he can get into the paint and split dribble, and, you know, he has the ball on the string like a yo-yo, and I watch some plays where I'm just like jaw dropping and the ball just roll around the rim where he's getting so close. And I'm like, think about the nights that he actually makes these shots, you know? But his supporting cast is, you know, they were shooting lights out, dude. Like, that third quarter they put up 37 points. Finney-Smith, Hardaway Jr., Brunson, Josh Richardson were all shooting the ball very well. They shot 23 from 49 from the three. It's kind of hard to beat when the team's shooting that well.
No, it's funny that Luka, and I guess everyone's stats seem so clean, considering that Maxi Kleber and Nicolò Melli played, 66 minutes combined, and they shot 0 for 9 combined, and they just missed every single three-point look that they got. And those were all pretty much Luka kicking out to them. And he still managed to rack up 8 assists. That's pretty impressive. But what was funny was this game started with Donovan Mitchell stealing the jump ball and racing ahead of the defense to score on the very first play. But that was one of his very few actually good plays in this game. He ended up shooting 6 for 23 for 16 points, missed all 8 of his three-point attempts. It was a pretty rough night for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been sizzling like most of the year. And, you know, Jazz were on a 9-game winning streak. In the first half, he only had 4 points. He was shooting 2 for 13, 0 for 5 from the 3. He tried to put it together, ended up finishing the game 6 for 23. And, you know, those games don't typically happen, and I'm not going to go on and say that he's inconsistent. Just had a bad night. It wasn't in his favor. And like I said, with the Mavs shooting how they did, and this wasn't their game.
Well, we didn't have a buzzer beater in New York, but we did have one between the Toronto Raptors and Washington Wizards, where OG Anunoby gets the stop at the rim. Gary Trent Jr. gets the ball, runs out in transition, and flies coast to coast to bury a three at the buzzer to win the game. I mean, this was one of the crazier innings we've seen in the NBA this year.
Yeah, I mean, that play was nuts. I mean, Gary Trent making plays, making the trade look pretty good. You know, Toronto has some guards to improve with, you know what I mean, with Van Vliet and Trent Jr. and, you know, Lowry and the sky's the limit with that, but that was a crazy finish. You know, going coast to coast and then pulling up. You got to be a special type of player to take that shot, and he's not scared of it.
And shout out to Malachi Flynn, who had 16 points in that game. I did not expect to see him putting up that many points in a game at this point. And that's right. Other scores around the league, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they actually got a win, but it's because it was against the Kings. They won 116-106. Detroit and OKC battled, 132-108 win for the Pistons. And Cleveland beat the Spurs 125-101. But I want to talk about something else, which was Shams Charania reporting that the competition committee is looking to reevaluate the landing space rule and the natural motion for jump shooters and all the rules surrounding that. And I'm really excited to hear that they're doing that, because we've seen so many crazy flops ever since they put in that landing space rule a couple years ago that it's like half the time shooters aren't even taking normal jump shots anymore. They're just looking to get fouled.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, it's going to change a lot, I feel, like how guys defend and things of that nature. And I don't think guys just end up just becoming bad players and that they superly relied on it, but it'll definitely clean it up a little bit.
Do you like the way that it is now where defenders kind of have, if they're closing out, they have to like go past the guy basically? Like, do you think that's fair, or do you want to see the defender be able to kind of go straight at the guy a little bit?
I still want the defender to be able to go straight at the guy. I mean, it's already hard for the defender to even defend good offensive guys. Like, it's set up for the offensive player only to win in these situations. And you've had to actually change up the defensive strategy and say, you know, the defender wins the ball game by making the shooter miss, not by him shutting them down. You can't shut a guy down. It's very rare that you're shutting a guy down because you can't touch him.
Well, we're going to have to shut the pod down here. So thank you to Trey. Thank you to super producer Brian Smith for another episode of The Daily Ding. Don't forget about all of our other podcasts across the Athletic Podcast Network, like No Dunks, The Athletic NBA Show, House of Strauss, and plus plenty of other shows around the league focusing on your favorite teams. Be sure to subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/ding. Trey, take us out of here.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.